a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks again for spending part of your Saturday with us here for another edition of KSL Outdoors Radio. And in this segment, by the way, Navi's going to jump back on here with us in a few minutes, and we'll get to some fish bites. I know he's excited about the change of weather, and he'll tell you, I'm sure, that November is his favorite time to fish, which for me, it's a little late in the year. But one of the last times I did it in November was with him on the Madison up in Montana. And, well, that was, 9 years ago. I don't think I've been I haven't been back. I'm kind of a fair-weather fisherman. But, boy, it's a great time of year to be fishing. And he'll have his class of fly fishing students on the river, I think, on the Weber later today. So we'll have that conversation in a couple of minutes. Right now, I want to bring our buddies Bob and Mark from Bob and Mark, Road Tripping with Bob and Mark, on to talk about one of their most recent destinations, or one that you should be thinking about as the weather turns colder here in the north. Guys, I think most people are probably thinking of heading south, at least for some distance, to find some warmer air.
Yeah, that might not be true this weekend.
Yeah.
But in the coming days, yeah, this is, boy, I tell you, this is the sweet spot for living in St. George area, is you survive the summers to get to the fall and winter.
Yeah, what's it only going to be down there, 85 degrees or something?
Yeah, actually, I think we're going to be coming into the 70s here soon.
Wow. It was funny when we were talking 70 degrees here. We checked the forecast for southern Utah down in St. George and surrounding areas. It was going to be 85 to 88 degrees, and we thought, oh, man. That's still a little bit warm for this time of year. Mark, where are you? You at home today, too?
I am, and I'm just looking out my window, and, you know, the leaves have not even started changing here, really. So that tells you a little bit about what elevation we're at.
Wow. Well, that's great stuff. We took a motorcycle ride last weekend, and I forgot to mention it when we started the show. We took a motorcycle ride up American Fork Canyon to get just a glimpse of what was left of leaves on the trees up there. And I had forgotten what a beautiful canyon that is. And boy, was it busy over the weekend. A lot of people had the same idea. A lot of people trying to make their way over the Alpine Loop, which there's a fire on the other side that was causing problems up Provo Canyon. But on the motorcycle, it was actually just a perfect day with perfect air in the lower 60s or mid 60s, I think, for highs to go make that ride. So hopefully people have had the opportunity to do that, because here in the north tomorrow they're talking about snow on the valley floors with temperatures only in the 40s for highs and lows at night in the 20s, which makes the skiers happy, I'll tell you that. But you were thinking Moab this week, Bob, right?
Yeah, you know, we've talked about so many places in Utah, especially here in the southern part of the state, but we didn't cover Moab. I mean, you can't talk about southern Utah without including Moab, right?
Right. Mark, you guys kind of, when you talk about Moab, think of it as sort of a base camp to get out and do a lot of things in the area, because within, 20, 30 minutes or maybe a little bit more than that, there are so many places to see and different experiences to have.
Well, and if you go back, Bob and I go back a ways on and spending time in the Moab area, but 20 years ago, you could go anywhere you wanted and you wouldn't run into many people. Now the Moab area, the main area, is quite busy. And so we thought we'd talk a little bit today about some of the out of the way places, some of the places that you could get to where you might not run into as many people.
Where do you want to start, Bob?
Well, you know, I was just in Moab recently a couple of times. And first of all, I want to mention to folks, if you're heading to Moab, plan a little extra time. I think I mentioned this in a previous show that they've got a little road construction going on the north end of town. So it's going to be a bit of a wait to get through into town itself. So just plan for some extra time when you're planning a trip down there. But, you know, there's one area that I like to travel to because folks are always wanting to see petroglyphs. Mm-hmm. Especially people from out of the West. They want to see petroglyphs. A great place to go that isn't really that well known is to go on the Potash Road. If you go the same route that you would be taking, I believe it's, what, 279, if I'm correct?
I don't know. That's right.
Yeah, 279. You take that route. It's the same route that you'd go to get the Corona Arch. And a few miles in, you'll come to a section called Wall Street where you'll see a lot of rock climbers. And there's a string of petroglyphs here. They look like they date back to about the Fremont period because they have those inverted triangular-shaped bodies. And what's unique about this area of petroglyphs is that there's actually a bear petroglyph. It looks more like a dog, but it is a bear. And so that's a really great place to go see petroglyphs if you want to go in the area that's really quick and easy to get to by pavement.
Wow, you sound like an art teacher who's critiquing an art student's poor job of drawing a dog that looked like a bear.
And I'd like to know how he knows it's a bear.
Yeah. That's a good tip. Mark, what stands out to you about a spot?
Well, you know, Bob's just talking about going south on the Colorado River, just going down 279 or that way. But if you go down 191 south of Moab, there are a couple of options this way, and Bob can talk a little bit about, there's a route that goes around the La Salle Mountain area that he can talk about. But if you go south on 191 towards Monticello, there is an arch down on the highway down that way called Wilson Arch, just right off the road. It's easy to get out of your car, walk around it. It's a large arch, and you can get right underneath it, stand right underneath, get some great photographs. I've been there when the sun is setting, and it's just a spectacular place for photographs. So Wilson Arch, just right on 191 going south out of Moab.
Still a lot of mountain biking going on this time of year down there?
Oh, yeah. This is a great time to go down mountain biking. It's still a little busy, but, you know, the temperatures are ideal. And this is really what you want to wait for. I mean, mountain biking in Moab during the middle of the summer isn't exactly the greatest experience because it gets nearly as hot there as it does in St. George. But this is now the time of year between now and going in through the winter months.
Yeah. And river running, I guess that season kind of winds down about the time school starts, doesn't it?
It does. You know, they still run some of these popular half-day trips from Fisher Towers. I don't know how long Westwater continues to run. But, yeah, they'll start shutting down their operation, their commercial operation along the river. You can still take private rafts down, but the commercial outfitters will start shutting down here soon.
All right. So if go ahead, Mark.
Oh, just to add to that, though, you've got a couple of other things besides floating the river down with the flow of the water. You can do jet boats on the river now, and they have these sound and light shows at night time out on the river. And
what's that about?
Well, they actually light up the cliffs. And Bob, you've actually done this. You could describe it better than me.
Yeah, I've taken some groups on this. It starts down by the bridge. It's called Canyonlands by Night and Day. And they take these big jet boats up the river. It's like a barge, the size of 144 people, I think, can fit on these things. And they go up the river until it gets dark. And there's a guide on. He tells you about the area, geology, and all that good stuff. And then they turn around at dark, and they come back down. And in the dark, they show lights on the cliffs. They have this light show on the cliffs, narrate with a recorded narration and music. It's pretty cool. I just, on my last trip, I got stuck behind the light truck on the highway. Had to crawl behind him for quite a long time. But it's a pretty fun experience, you know. And often they have a Dutch oven dinner prior to going up the river, so you can make a whole night of it.
How cool is that? I hear these things, you know, that just come up out of the blue, like in a conversation with you guys, and I think, how do people ever know that these things happen? I guess just by arriving in town and, you know, picking up a flyer or, you know, one of the pamphlets that lists some of the activities in the area.
Yeah, I mean, because there's so many activities that aren't well known. That's why we wanted to mention a few of them today. But yeah, I mean, you can always go to their website, discovermoab.com, and they've got a list after list. I mean, Moab is more than just you know, Arches and Canyonlands and Dead Horse Point. There's so much to do in that area. It's the, you know, it's the adventure capital of our area.
Yeah. All right. Lay a couple of other ideas on us.
What's next? Bob, talk about that route around the LaSalle's.
Well, there's this LaSalle Scenic Loop. It starts off of Scenic Highway 128, or you can start in Moab. You go down to the bridge and turn east on Scenic Highway 128, and you go to Castle Valley, and you take a loop up into the LaSalle Mountains, and it comes. It's a 60-mile loop. It's a really beautiful scenic drive, and it comes back down out of the mountains south of Moab. It's called the LaSalle Loop, and that's
that goes past Fisher Towers out there. Is that the one you're talking about?
Actually, you'll enter in before Fisher Towers. You'll go in at Castle on the road that goes to Castle Valley, and okay. then up into the mountains from there. But it's on that same route that you'd go out to Fisher Towers and also the Professor Valley that are along the Scenic Highway 128, where a lot of the Western movies have been filmed.
So you're just skirting around the outside of Arches National Park at that point on 128.
Yeah, you're on the south side.
Okay. All right. I got an idea of what you're talking about now. Okay. Mark, what about you?
Well, just if you're going out that direction, there is a resort out there that has a museum, Red Cliffs Lodge, that's out along the river.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And they've got, yeah, it is an incredible setting there. And there are other places you can stay out along that way as well. But they've got a museum there. They talk about some of the movie history that is from the past. And if you remember Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade and River Phoenix running with that cross in his hand, trying to get away from those treasure hunters.
Yeah.
That's a scene that's straight out of the Moab area. And then Thelma and Louise, people may remember, or City Slickers. And there's other movies that were filmed more recently there. Even Galaxy Quest was filmed in the area, more west of there. And even Disney has been there recently with John Carter from Mars was filmed in the west of Moab area.
Well,
so there's a lot of more recent movies that were made there.
Yeah, just that drive out 128 is really spectacular. But I may have been there one time before, but I'm also thinking it might have been my only trip to Red Cliff Lodge was when they were doing the symphony at the Mighty Five. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. I remember they were moving it around the state.
Yeah, and I actually drew the short straw on this one and had to make the drive down to interview the governor at Red Cliff Lodge and then go sit on the ridge of Bryce Canyon and listen to the symphony play under the moonlight. Let me tell you, I can't think of anything more spectacular than that. And I've been to a lot of places in the world, but to have the opportunity of having the Utah Symphony sitting right there with the beautiful towers of Bryce Canyon in the background, moonlit under the night, and sitting with the governor was just spectacular.
Yeah, I remember when you got that gig.
Yeah.
Everybody was very envious of you, Tim, getting that gig. You know, Mark has actually a really cool story about Bryce Canyon of an event that he was involved in setting up with the piano guys.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we actually rolled a piano out there in the dark. It was a grand piano on its side on a four-wheel dolly in the dark, out to the edge of a cliff, out on a long precipice, in fact, set up the grand piano, and then that piano sat out there all day long, right on the edge of Bryce Canyon, and the piano guys were shooting a music video for that. You can check it out online. It's had over 100 million views.
Wow.
since then. But yeah, we were involved in just setting that up, and people were coming up all day long and saying, "I heard the music you were playing out across the canyon. It was so beautiful." And it was kind of like the experience you're describing with the symphony. Anybody gets the chance to see the symphony outdoors like you did, where they're playing some of this great music in the outdoors. Boy, that's fantastic.
Just incredible.
I think, Mark, that wasn't the song Titanium, Mark, that they
that's
played?
That's the one.
Yeah.
You can look that up on YouTube. It's a fun setup.
Those guys are amazing. And one of my favorite albums of theirs is Christmas Music, which is about that time of year again. So, look, we're going to take a quick break. But, again, it's discovermoab.com if you want information. Road tripping with Bob and Mark.com. They've got a great podcast, pictures and everything. Don't go away, guys. We're going to check in with you later in this hour, I know you, or later in the next hour, later in the program, I know you were recently at Kolob Canyons, and I wanted to talk to you about that if we get a couple of minutes. So stand by. Coming up next on KSL Outdoors Radio, we're going to check back in with Navadomskis. He's excited to talk fishing today as he heads to the river with his class. They're headed to the Weber.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Seldom do they have a fish fry at the Navadomskis house, but not because they don't catch fish. They just release them after they catch them.
Yeah, but we buy them at Smith's.
You know, you could eat one or two of those that you catch once in a while.
No.
Never?
We want to catch them every day. We leave them there every day. If we take them, they're not there. But we, like you say, we eat fish in the house. We just buy them from places that grow them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Where are we going to go for fishing this week?
Oh, my gosh, Tim. Fishing is red hot.
Well, first of all, you're going to take your class on the water today as this interview airs, right?
Yeah, they're probably listening right now. We're going to be out on the Weber River, you know, because the water came down a week ago. The contracts with irrigation ran out, so the water's low, and it's very safe for my students now, and the fishing should be really good. I'm expecting really great things. Last weekend I was up in Montana, and, oh, we had a great time fishing up there. But what I want to talk about today is the lakes. Oh, my gosh, if you're not sure about where to go fishing or you're worried about getting skunked, you're just not gonna. And let me tell you, the perfect place to go are the lower Uintas. It's not far to drive to, like, up to Camas, Oakley. Get up in there, get like Smith and Morehouse, Trial Lake, Wall Lake, Moshorn Lake, Mirror Lake. Those are all very available. It's the weather's cool, but there's no snow. There's no reason you can't get up there. And the fish are in their last moments before they're starting to get ice develop. And so they are hungry, hungry, hungry. If you want to make sure you're not going to get skunked, take the kids. Throw the line out in the water. They're going to be cruising the shallows. You can't miss. By the way, if you're for bigger fishing, strawberries red hot. I got a word. My son has a close friend who fishes strawberry, and he said it's just cracking hot right now. So get up there. Those cutthroats are getting the same urge to eat a lot before the weather changes, and it's changing rapidly. And all those waters are ice-free. So that is what I'm recommending. I mean, you could go to any of our reservoirs that we have in the state. I mentioned a bunch in the south last week, which are, let me reiterate those, Puffer, Otter Creek, Panguitch, Minersville, Paiute, Cresharam. Those are all really fishing well. And up north here, Lost Creek is fishing good, Echo is fishing good, and none as good as, frankly, East Canyon Reservoir. They're all just fishing outstandingly right now, and they're very easy to access because the fish are so close to the shore that you don't need a boat to get them.
Well, that was my question, because I haven't seen a lot of reporting on that, whether the water has actually cooled to the point where the bigger fish are actually starting to cruise the shorelines looking for
it
something
has.
To fatten them up.
It has, Tim. This is going to be, you know, really the best. And then it's only going to get better, frankly, but you're going to have to be hardier. I fish in November. November is my favorite month to fish, but it is flat out cold in these regions that support trout. I mean, my students on the river this weekend are going to be bundled up, and they're going to have to be because, you know, down in town you're wearing a jacket, but up there in the canyons, you know, it's significantly colder. It's a warm hat. And by the way, you warm your torso. Don't warm your hands. People want to wear gloves. Just overheat that torso. Get some fleece vests. Put them under your jacket. Put on a really significant hat. That's how you stay warm. And then, you know, a raincoat is perfect for a windbreaker. So it breaks that wind. You know, warm is not an issue for us. Like I say, we say no bad weather, just bad clothing. And I mean that. So if you are a hardy person at all, you're fishing. And the fall is the best time of year. Don't anybody kid you. Now is when the fishing's getting better and better and better until the ice comes.
I want to go back to a strawberry for just a second. This from the Division of Wildlife Resources website. The reservoir is 84% full, which to me sounds really high for this late in the season. But I don't have any memory to compare that with. They are saying, back to the question of shore anglers, that you should expect increased mid-morning and evening, early evening catch rates for cutthroat and rainbow trout using bait and bait fish, mimic lures, or streamer patterns. So, again, you're looking for not just the cooler water, but the cooler air to also go along with it.
You know, Tim, I don't want to correct the Fish and Wildlife, but those are a bit antiquated by about a week. You don't have to get up early now. I mean, since that was written, I can tell you right now the temperatures are far different. So that is going to fish all day long. You don't have to get the early and late anymore. It's going to be good all day.
Matter of fact, you're right on, because it says in the fine print that the last report was 23 days ago. So you're right. Things have taken a turn there. One more note about strawberry. Kokanee salmon have to be released if you happen to catch any. Along the way, you can't have those in your possession between September 10th and November 30th. So just want to remind everybody of that.
You know,
go ahead.
Am I on? Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to comment about strawberry. I was just past there on Monday, and surf was up. You know, it was pretty windy.
The winds.
I would say check the wind and go super early in the morning or later on in the afternoon and, you know, check and see what it is up there.
Yeah.
I think they've got a weather station up there.
All right. That's good advice. We are done here, boys. We do have to get ready for an ABC News update at the top of the hour, and then we'll have local and regional news on the other side of it. But stand by. Hour number two of the show is coming up, and we're expecting to connect with Heather Talley, who is our upland game coordinator for the Division of Wildlife Resources. And we'll do that right after we get the news update. Don't go away. Hour number two, just ahead.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.